Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Anything worth saying is worth talking about. Deprogram with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It is hour two, and in this hour, we are going to talk about mandates and the pushback to them, both in China and here. And we are going to be joined in just a moment by Lucia Sinatra, and we are going to talk about her group, which is nocollegemandates.com, which has, I don't want to call it a petition because it's not really a petition, but it's something that you can sign, which then gets forwarded on to your local governors, senators, House of Representatives, et cetera. And it is about the mandates for vaccinations here within the UC college system here in California. So that's going to be in just a bit. John Matlin will be joining us again shortly. Before I get to that, I'm sure you guys saw over the weekend the massive protests in China over the CCP's draconian COVID policies. And you know what? I'm glad to see this, because if they can find it within themselves to rise up like this, perhaps it will inspire others, especially us, to do the same. Now, I'll be honest, I don't expect for this to continue that long, because China will put it down. They're not going to let this thing continue, but they have to be very careful how they handle this. And so this weekend, I guess it finally just got to a fever point. The Chinese regime has tightened security in cities over the aftermath of major protests. And on the 28th, they stopped and searched people at the protests in Shanghai and Beijing. These large-scale public disobedience protesters are calling for Communist Party leader Xi Jinping to step down. I do not think that will happen. There might be discussions within that top-level group of what they should do. I do not think that he will step down, because he's doubled down on this, and I don't think that's going to happen. But still, even with all of this, I'm glad to see it. Now, it does have ripple effects. Like, the stock market today was down, I think, let me pull it up here, like 500 plus points, I believe. And much of this was, 497 points. The Dow was down, the NASDAQ was down 176, because this unrest in China has global implications. And if they continue with this COVID zero policy, which seems incredibly hard to believe that that could even ever happen, unfortunately, much of our manufacturing is there, including a company like Apple, who took a hit today. And Apple is, you know, as you heard in that previous segment, a bit cozy with China. So this is going to be interesting to watch. I people keep saying this reminds them of Tiananmen Square. Yeah, I could see that a bit. And some people are also saying that this was started when the Chinese government went back to what they were doing at the very beginning of COVID, and they were literally welding and securing people into apartment buildings. And then one of these buildings caught on fire and the people inside died. And that is the thing that has sparked the final pushback. So this is going to be really interesting. China's totalitarian. They will put the hammer down hard on this, but I applaud the people of China for standing there in the face of all this, saying what they have to say. And I hope that we have the same kind of intestinal fortitude here in the West to get in the streets and do the same, because I think we're getting very, very close to that point where there's going to have to be some kind of demonstration. I mean, listen, when George Floyd died, how many people were in the streets for that? That was an unfortunate situation. I wish that all of that had not happened, but look how it got people into the streets. Well, instead of just for one individual being killed in a situation like that, how about this removal of many of our freedoms in a sickness that seems to be very sketchy, where it came from and what it was intended for, and the vaccines, which have no long-term efficacy, that are being mandated upon us if we want to go to college. And that's going to be part of what we talk about with Lucia Sinatra. So anyway, that's where I'm feeling on that. Good on you to the people of China. We support you. You guys at TNT Radio, we never go home. We are committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7 online globally, no matter what. We got you covered on TNT Radio.
News you can count on.
They break down the big story.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The war on legal firearms wages on, and the Senate will soon vote on the assault weapons ban bill that made its way through the House of Representatives. Will it have enough votes to pass? Here to discuss is TNT News producer John Madlin.
The battle to strip law-abiding citizens of their guns continues. It starts with what politicians deem assault weapons and eventually ends at a fully disarmed public. The way this is done, crisis after crisis, if they eventually ban rifles like AR-15s, they will go for other weapons in slow progression. They usually utilize tragedies, but somehow the Club Q shooting has taken the back seat, as it did not meet the checklist of something acceptable to push a narrative advancement. We know that the alleged shooter, MX Aldrich, is non-binary and the attack was on their own community. But any tragedy that does not fit the narrative is going to be brought to the back, and the ones that do will be exploited to hell and back. The desired end result? No guns, perhaps just muskets. We have watched unarmed nations face mistreatment from their governments at record paces, but it doesn't happen here in the United States nearly as bad, and the question is why. Many fall on the fact we have an armed public. Our population has plenty of guns in circulation legally. Also, if the strictest gun laws worked, Chicago wouldn't be one of the most dangerous places in the entire world. The stricter the rules are getting, the more brazen the criminals are getting with their illegal guns. As was said, the House of Representatives passed a bill that now sits in front of the Senate, and the belief is the votes aren't there to pass it, as per Senator Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut. The bill H.R. 1808 would prohibit the manufacturing of, sale of, and possession of semi-automatic guns. According to the National Rifle Association's Institute for Legislative Action, over 24 million guns may fall under the defined outline in that bill. Many people still believe the consumer firearms are automatic, and they are not. They have not been for decades. That's banned. The right to bear arms shall not be infringed, but somewhere in that statement, the words shall not be infringed have lost their meaning to many politicians in our nation. And of course, handguns are considered semi-automatic. So where does that fall in the mix? What are your thoughts, Michael?
Well, they're going to keep beating on this as long as they can. And yes, they know they're trying to run out the clock. So I don't think that this passes just like that one senator said, but that doesn't mean it's the end of it. They will wait to fight another day and bring all this back, but they will try to keep it in our minds as long as they can. And I will say, I've seen the message, the anti-gun message, be very, very effective to people that you would even be surprised by it. Especially, I think, in the older generation, like my father, you know, I mean, he's a Texan Republican, and he's kind of come around to this, that you don't need certain kind of guns, but it's just because their messaging has been so omnipresent. It's just in your face, you know, that there are places that they've made inroads that I wouldn't expect, but the messaging is strong.
Yes, the messaging is strong. And again, it's very, it comes down to very uneducated public on firearms in general, that you can still have debates. And I had this talk while I was running for office at one of the Meet the Candidates platforms where people came to ask questions. And I had somebody, and of course, we were all indoors and there was only certain people wearing N95s and KN95s. And that person happened to be the big anti-gun person. So debate ensued, and their question was basically manufactured in a way that no matter what I answered, I was a monster. That was the insinuation. And I asked her if she ever had shot a gun. And her answer was, of course not. I would never shoot a gun. And I said, well, if you did, you would know and you'd be well aware that you can empty a handgun of a magazine of a handgun at the same rate, essentially, as an AR-15. And she goes, no, you can hold the bullet, you can hold the trigger down and it shoots millions of bullets a minute. And I said, that's a cartoon definition. It's not true. And that has not been legal to buy in the U.S. for decades. And this was something that they still don't grasp, even though it's factual. And I said, I can take a magazine a handgun magazine and just keep pulling the trigger, and it will eject a bullet. The same, you know, you will, and for all intents and purposes, you will have the same amount of firing. However, the magazine for the AR might hold more bullets. But at the end of the day, you can always reload, and it's still considered a semi-automatic because the magazine will push the bullet into the chamber, and the gun will put it where all you have to do is continue to release and press the trigger down. And that answer was not good enough. And then a retired police officer was running for state assembly and gave the same definition and all the different things that are going on with guns. But the answer here is, this is a narrative they bought in. Guns kill everybody, and the reason why everyone's dying is because there's guns. And I often point these debates toward what I witnessed while I was live on Instagram in, I believe it was October, could have been November, but it was probably November. And I was live on Instagram at about 12:30 in the morning my time, but it was broad daylight in Australia. And Estelle, who's a friend of mine now, was basically walking or exercising. She had to exercise, and they were trying to stop the protest. I believe it was at the Shrine of Remembrance. And I watched how the police formations were, and I said, everybody better get out of there. This doesn't look good. They're slowly enclosing you guys into a circle. And what eventually happened after the broadcast ended was the police there pulled out their semi-automatics or automatic rubber bullets. Thankfully, it was rubber bullets. And they just started shooting into the crowd of people that were there trying to say that what was happening was tyranny. And the reason these things can occur is because there is no recourse from the citizens. There can't be. They're a disarmed society. The reason it doesn't happen here, it's not that people are like, oh, you can't take on the military and win. You're right. No one's taking on the military and winning. It's the fact that it would not turn out the same way because there's an armed public. And that is something where they say you can rule by strength. You can keep your rights just by the fact that you own guns. And it's a very simple equation if you look at it, because nobody's going to line up in Texas and start shooting citizens with rubber bullets, because what comes back at them would not be rubber.
And you know what else, John? It's like, if the left really wanted to make gun ownership less of a priority for so many of us, then they would work on their policies, because a lot of people buy guns these days. When I was growing up in Texas, you know, people had the sport, but now people feel like they have to protect themselves, because in the major cities and things have gone so far downhill. When the whole COVID thing began, I was like, that's finally when I realized, you know what, I've got to go buy a firearm to protect my family. Because nobody knew exactly how crazy things were going to get. And, you know, it wasn't that I was excited to buy a gun. It was just that, well, you know, if this gets really extreme, I just need to have a firearm. And so if they want people to stop buying firearms, then they need to adjust their response to these endemic issues that make people feel unsafe.
Yeah. And but you know, again, at the end of the day, it's going to be the person's choice. And I never tell anybody that they have to buy a firearm. This is another thing I talk about in debates, because you have to win minds by having conversation. And that's exactly why things like TNT Radio are very, very special, is you can have conversation, you have debate, and you can wake people up from this slumber. Nobody is forcing somebody that is anti-gun to have a gun. That is the biggest thing to point out. However, when you ask people to put themselves in a situation where, say, their home is invaded in the middle of the night and they have a choice, they can reach over for a remote control to their TV to throw at somebody, or if they can have a gun, they usually say they would want to have a gun, but you can't possibly imagine what the intent of the person in your house is. And I said, well, then we could go to step two. Can you issue that person a Scantron, like a test in high school, and have them bubble in what their reason is for being in your house? This is the reality. You have seconds to react, and your family could be on the line and your life. They didn't come in your house to have some tea. And if you can handle the situation without shooting them, of course, that is the way to go. But you don't have the option to say, hey, are you here to do me harm? Because when you think about saying that, your brains might be blown all over your own bedroom wall.
And when is this vote supposed to happen? Because they're going to have to do it quickly, soon.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's going to have to happen quick. There isn't an exact date that I came across yet. But again, with knowing that they don't have those votes, they have to reach 60 because of filibuster and whatnot. Yep. So it's not looking like it's going to happen. And it's I something I'm thankful for post Thanksgiving is that it's not looking like it's going to happen. You know, this is a very, very again, this is something that they do in slow motion. And when you put words like semi-automatic sales of guns, you're looking at things that you don't think fit it. You say, oh, it's an assault rifle. First of all, there's no such thing as an assault rifle. They're talking about ARs, and that's the Armalite rifle. And they're going to go through this for eons and eons. Any weapon is an assault weapon if it's a weapon used to assault somebody. And if a handgun is semi-automatic, you're starting to put things in place with legislation that can be interpreted in a negative way to remove things like handguns next.
And John, you make a good point. I mean, who knows? Maybe they won't even have the vote because they do not want to be seen losing on a vote. So maybe it won't even happen. John Matlin, thank you so much for that segment. You guys, we're going to take a break. When we get back, Lucia Sinatra is going to join us and we're going to talk about vaccine mandates. Yeah, they're still a thing. And especially here in the UC culture, University of California. We'll be right back.
TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Any violence, any assault, any threat is wrong, and I do not support it. But notice how these people leave out. They make it sound like the rhetoric is against trans people, you know, gay and lesbian people, and people who want to have sex change operations. No, we're talking about young children. We're talking about reading books to young children, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. Asking students without parental permission, Johnny, you look like a boy, but do you feel like a boy? Maybe you're a girl. That's what parents are outraged about. That's what people with any common sense and decency are outraged about. Now, it's not an excuse to do any of those things, threaten violence, commit violence, or any of that. But they've changed the message. They lie. They leave out. Fake news by omission is the worst kind of fake news. When you just conveniently leave out facts or conveniently leave out putting things in context, how they relate to past events that are similar. If there's no context and if you give half truths, you're making it up. You're making it up.
The Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I view Al Sharpton as a poverty pimp.
Terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland.
I walk outside every day in fear of white supremacy right here in the middle of the hood. Okay, yeah, right.
My grandparents had a cross burned on their property. We were slaves in the past. We're free now.
I never seen a white supremacist in my life. Never, and they can't point to one. Where the hell are they? I wish somebody would introduce me to a white supremacist. I would like to talk to them and take pictures with them because I never seen one in my life.
Biden says that the country is systematically racist. You know, I almost want to look at him and say, haven't you been the system for the last 50 years?
He's the one that sponsored the 1994 crime bill, which unequivocally basically targeted black men in black neighborhoods.
The polarization. The left versus right, the black versus white.
Pro-choice against pro-life.
I work for Black Lives Matter. I'm sorry that I scared you.
People have had to make it like they're apologizing for their whiteness.
And could you just please apologize for, you know, for your white privilege?
What's more disheartening to me is that those who are within the black community are allowing for that to take place.
So really what we're dealing with is a cultural Marxism that Joe Biden and all the rest from the left were trying to inculcate into our society.
Well, you were once the oppressor, so now I must be the oppressor. You don't avenge evil for evil.
It's okay to say disparaging things against white people. Our former president, Barack Obama, said it, you know, about old white men are a problem. Except when it comes time for him to fly around on their airplanes and ride around on their yachts or be their next door neighbors or endorse them for president like Joe Biden, then old white men are okay. This is their last gasp.
What do progressive socialists really want?
Watch Systematic Deception at SalemNow.com.
The Congo provides 60% of the world's cobalt. Children as young as 7 breathe in cobalt-laden dust so you can drive an electric vehicle. We mandate that the truth be told. today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, let's get back to it. My guest for the remainder of this hour, making her first visit here on the show, is Lucia Sinatra. She is a former corporate securities attorney, and after becoming a mother, Lucia turned her attention to fighting inequities in public schools in California for students with learning disabilities. She co-founded NoCollegeMandates.com to help fight the college vaccine mandate. And they have an effort that they've launched that you can sign. My wife and I both signed it yesterday. It's online. We're going to talk about that, asking that UC, University of California, drop their vaccine mandate, which I fully support. Lucia, welcome to the show.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for taking time to join us. And, you know, I have a daughter in the UC system, and we, you know, we're watching all of this, wondering what's going to happen. My wife and I signed your document. I don't want to call it a petition because it's not really that. But tell people what that's about, and then we'll go further into it.
Okay, sounds good. So we just to also briefly explain, we started No College Mandates a little over a year ago, and we started it because my son's college at that time had mandated the first booster. And at that point, even though I've been in disagreement with vaccine mandates from day one, it was at that point that I realized this is never going to end. So they got the kids to take the primary series. Now they're forcing booster number one. And I had, and we sort of had this, you know, vision way back then that this is going to become either a yearly or twice yearly requirement. And that's when all hell broke loose in my mind. I was like, there's just no way. At that time, depending on the school, exemptions were also very difficult to get. So I sort of had been sitting with this whole problem with vaccine mandates, percolating. What's my mission? How can I get involved? What can I do to stop this? And then it just sort of hit me out of the blue that that enough is enough. When I started hearing more and more stories, and we started to see more and more data about injuries and about students being kicked out of school and not having the choice to say yes or no to a vaccine, not having the choice to submit a medical or religious exemption, the more I learned, the more I became outraged. And we just took it upon ourselves to do something about it. So we started the mission, hit the ground running, got a lot of early media attention, put up a website, put up a Substack, and now we are a coalition of several thousand parents, students, professors, doctors, lawyers, you name it. And one of the things that we try to do is activate our members, because as you would imagine, we have members from all over the United States with kids that attend colleges all over the United States. And because we are small and not heavily staffed organization, we can't target every college to get them to stop mandates. So what we do is we try to activate parent groups to create letters and to create missions around ending college mandates at the colleges that their students attend. So we have this superstar group of UC parents. And they came to me and said, can you help us brainstorm? We really want to do something. And I said, yes, you know, this is the perfect time, because I don't know if you're aware, Michael, but the UC vaccine policy is currently under review. So they put out a letter to the community or email to the community several weeks ago saying, we're reviewing our COVID-19 policy. And most especially the idea of adding a bivalent booster, which for many kids that are upperclassmen would mean a second booster. So primary series, they've already taken a first booster, and then this would be a second booster mandate. So they said, what can we do? How can we be most effective? And we have used Align Act campaigns in the past. And basically an Align Act is better than a petition in that you, when you sign the campaign, an email copy of that letter with your signature gets sent to all the recipients. Currently, that campaign has generated almost 60,000 emails, and we're looking to get to over 100,000 emails sent to the UC Board of Regents and other UC decision makers, imploring them, urging them to drop the mandates, and most especially, do not mandate a bivalent booster.
I love the implementation of it. Like I say, I used it last night. My wife used it. And you're right. Once you sign, you read the letter, you sign it, and then it goes out to your various representatives, and very well done. You guys, we're going to take a quick break for our bottom of the hour news break. I speak with Lucia Sinatra. She's going to be with us through the remainder of this hour. We'll be right back.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. The Wall Street Journal reports that the U.S. government's policy of arming Ukraine is exacerbating delays of weapon shipments to Taiwan. Nigel Farage is threatening a comeback to obliterate the conservative Tory party after reports they intend to reverse Brexit. A BBC journalist has been beaten and arrested by police while covering anti-lockdown protests in Shanghai.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
All right. Lucia Sinatra is my guest this hour. She is the co-founder of NoCollegeMandates.com. And you were talking about how UC is revising their vaccination program, and they're taking these comments, but that they take them through December 15th. And after that, how long do you think it will take before we know what they are going to say?
That's a good question. I think that they've announced that by the end of the year, we will know. And just to be clear, they are taking comment to a policy that they've already revised. So they've already come up with revisions to the policy. You can see it. You can get to it through links on that Align Act, which hopefully you'll post. You'll post the links in your show notes. And and so they've revised the policy. My inside sources at the UC schools tell me that the Board of Regents are fighting over the mandate of the bivalent booster. So there are some that absolutely unequivocally want to mandate it. And then there are others that are in disagreement. And that is the reason that this has come up. We believe that they are the decision makers. We believe that they get obviously outside influence on making those decisions. But we believe the buck stops with the Board of Regents, and therefore every single one of them are recipients of this letter, of this Align Act campaign.
And how many people are in the Board of Regents for UC?
That's a good question. You know, I don't know that number. I'm not super familiar with looking that up recently. So I apologize that I don't have that.
Oh, no worries. I was just wondering, like, is it a handful? Is it 50? I mean, because there's a difference.
No.
If we knew who they were, it could hopefully influence them on a one-to-one basis, especially if it's a split decision at the moment.
Yep. And that's, you know, I've been trying to get more information because I'm actually getting it from faculty MDs that work at the UC schools. Some of these faculty and MDs are in the process of a lawsuit, so they've got to stay confidential, and they've got to be careful with what they share with me and what then I can share with the public. So I am trying to get more information on who they are. Very protected, as you would imagine. It's almost impossible to even find their email addresses. You have to just dig and dig and dig. But there's a pretty good number of them. I want to say it's in the 20, you know, maybe 20, 25 of them that are responsible for these decisions across the entire, you know, UC community. Again, I could be wrong. I haven't checked in on those numbers lately. And of course, Michael, we don't get any response from them. We've been targeting colleges with letter campaigns for months on end. Most of these letters get ignored, but this Align Act campaign is different in the sense that instead of just getting one letter, one email, they're now getting several hundred emails a week. And they're well over, you know, 50,000, almost 60,000 emails to their inbox. That can't be fun to see all that clutter
right,
sort of bombarding your inbox. And that was the whole idea, right?
And you make it very easy to then repost it onto social media. So I posted, I reposted it on Twitter. I reposted it on Gab. It got some retweets from my account. So it is having the desired effect that you want, which is for this message to be spread. And so I was asking a few people who are in similar situations as me and my family, if they had some thoughts on this. And one of the questions that I got was, if the UC mandates the bivalent booster, what is a student's recourse going to be, or will they have any at all?
That's a great question. And yes, their recourse is they can file for an exemption to the bivalent booster. About a year ago, that would, depending on the UC, depending on whether the student was an athlete or not, those exemptions weren't easily accepted, especially right. medical exemptions. So our colleges were playing doctor in the sense that if student submitted a medical exemption and it got denied, who are they to basically say, we don't think this is a valid medical reason to have an exemption from the vaccine. The religious exemptions, some were rejected, some were accepted. You sort of have to have particular language in there for the exemptions. As you may know, this year, they're much easier. We're finding exemptions are much easier to secure. And that's across the board at almost every college in the United States compared to last year. They do take some time at the UC schools. And there are certain kids that are getting, quote unquote, bullied, if you will. So I know of a boy, a freshman at UCLA, whose exemption has been on file for months. And they basically said, we're not going to let you apply, register for spring semester until you comply with your vaccine and booster mandates. I have not heard this happening to every student that applies for an exemption. So it's really all over the place. It's very dependent on what UC you're at, who's reviewing your documentation, whether your documentation was submitted correctly. It can take a number of days to a number of months to get approval.
Well, and that sounds like there's a lot of gray area on this because, yeah, how would they verify these exclusions, or do they just slow walk it and keep it kind of in these shadowy stylings? I mean, then they tell you, well, we're not going to allow you to re-register unless you get the vaccine. It's the end result.
Yeah, it's crazy. You'd be shocked. They give you absolutely no reasons for why they accept or reject your exemption normally. They just say, we think this is not valid, or, you know, we think that that your religious beliefs are not sincerely held. I've seen that written before, or that your religious beliefs don't comport with your reasons for taking vaccines in the future, completely and utterly failing to recognize that a person's religious beliefs can change minute by minute, right? Day by day, month yes. by month. Who cares what they got in the past? So it's insane. You can't put reason or logic to any of this, much less reasons for why they reject exemptions.
Well, and the other thing is when you look internationally, where many mandates have been dropped. And then you look domestically, a lot of university have already dropped the mandates, yet UC, which is this huge school system, is wanting to continue on with it. And I mean, why are they saying, what? Everybody knows the good and the bad that's associated with both of these. There's plenty of information on the issues with them and their lack of long-term efficacy. So what is their rationale for doing this?
They are towing the same old narrative that yeah. we believe that vaccines are the best way to protect our community. And the closer we can get to getting a 100, some schools have said a 100% vaccination rate, or to keep our vaccination rates in the high 90%, to the extent that we can continue to do that, we feel that this best protects our community. They absolutely will not respond to any of the data that shows that anybody can transmit this virus, that the vaccines don't protect you from getting the disease, nor you getting the virus, nor transmitting the virus. They refuse to acknowledge the data that's come out and continues to emerge on negative effects, especially towards young adults. We get none of that, Michael. We just get this is the best way to protect our community. And we are following CDC guidelines, which, mind you, are recommendation. So colleges have taken those recommendations, made it a one size fits all, and applied them directly to a portion of the population that is at the lowest risk of severe illness and death from the virus, but at one of the highest risks of adverse events.
Yes. And something that I read about this that's really chilling is there is this professor of sociology at UC Santa Barbara, William Robinson. He had sent a letter to the UC Santa Barbara administrators protesting the booster mandate. He got no response to that. So then he posted his letter to your site, No College Mandates, and sent it to some other colleagues. And then he was going to contact the editors of UC's 9 student papers to see if they would run the letter. And he was anticipating, well, wait a minute, these should be young people, idealistic, up-and-coming journalists. Surely they would want to post this just out of the newsworthiness and the allowance of a perceived balanced media. They asked for it to be shortened to 900 words. He did that. And then they changed their mind. They didn't want to run it.
Yep. Yep. It's absolutely outrageous. I mean, you know, to think about the gall and the nerve of these students who are censoring their professors. Where is that coming from? Who has told them that this is not okay? Where are the students of the 1960s who would have looked at administrators and said, I am not going to do what you're telling me to do. We are about free speech. We are free publication. We happen to think what's in this letter is important, and we happen to think the community should know. Where have those students gone?
That is one of the most depressing things that I've read about all this, because yes, if they have already been influenced and indoctrinated at this early age, which it looks like, okay, look, they either got pressured or they agree with it. It's one or the other. And if they can't find the courage to do this now, then, and they're the future of journalism, we're already in a bad state.
Yep. It's true. And I think it's a little bit of both. And here's what's hard to tell is, what is that percentage? What is the percentage of students that are actually brainwashed? I mean, at schools where your student and my student is at Dartmouth College, you know, these are schools where I'm willing to bet the majority of the population is brainwashed. However, I think there are a percentage of the population in these schools that don't agree with the mandates, and they're afraid to speak out. Or as friends have been told by students at Stanford University, we have more important matters to discuss than vaccine mandates. We have far greater work to do. And it's such a window into how little they understand what they have given up. And it is so incredibly disturbing.
Yes, if they think that they've got more important work to do than establishing their own personal health sovereignty, then that's pretty brainwashed and misled. One of the things I also read in this one article, it was by Mark Crispin Miller, and he was talking about all of this. He said that part of this pressure might be because the UC president, Michael V. Drake, recently joined the board of directors at Amgen.
Yep. You know, I do think that is part of it. But the other thing is the UCs don't stand alone. I mean, there are
agreed.
A thousand, right? So there are 1,000 colleges, and it's not the majority, but there are 1,000 colleges in the United States that have mandated primary series, and there are about 300 that have mandated boosters. So what are their connections? Now, some of these colleges are, it's interesting, because I got contacted by a professor at a small liberal arts college in South Jersey, and she wouldn't let me know, he or she wouldn't let me know their name. They need to stay anonymous. But she said to me, you know, funding is not the only, it's not the only part of the story. She said, we get barely zero federal funding, yet we're following what Rutgers University is doing. And Rutgers University, as you know, is heavily funded by Big Pharma, and they run trials for all of Big Pharma, right? So they're in phase two, phase three clinical trials for Moderna, J&J, and Pfizer. And, you know, what she was telling me is because Rutgers has mandated that these vaccines, so we follow. It is not tied to our federal funding. I always tell people we are fighting forces that we cannot fully define. This is not a one answer. You know, there's not one answer to this question. No, there's no question in my mind.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And yeah, because there's a lot of different influences that lead people to think what they think. And if you're in a situation, you're this board of regents, whether you disagree or agree with this, you're getting your information from a lot of different places. And unfortunately, you know, there's peer pressure as well. And sometimes a decision to do something already agrees with your political ideology. So there's that part. There's also the pressure that you don't want to look like you're for something when people are saying that ultimately leads to the death of grandma or what have you. So they've been very effective in messaging all of these negative things about not getting vaxxed. You guys, we got to take a quick break. I'm here with Lucia Sinatra. This is TNT. This is Deprogrammed. We will be right back.
The midterms and America has voted. With his expert analysis, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Enough. Stop the madness. 50 years ago, Johnny Cash sang about being a boy named Sue, but if he were alive today, he'd be a beauty queen named Brian. Brian Wen, who should never have been allowed by the Miss America organization to even enter the Miss Greater Derry contest in New Hampshire, was judged to be the fairest flower of young womanhood in that benighted burg. Because, of course, leftists have to ruin everything that is good and wholesome and uplifting. Brian, who towered head and shoulders over the honest-to-goodness young women in the contest, and whose voix de pas is only outsized by his chutzpah, made a travesty of a mockery of a sham of a mockery of a travesty of two mockeries of a sham of what should have been a celebration of the all-American girl. But this wasn't just a lark, and Miss America judges weren't just engaging in tomfoolery. No, this is a deadly serious attack on American values and traditions, and allowing a bulky boy named Brian to steal thousands of dollars in college scholarship money from deserving young women not only constitutes grand theft, it is proof positive just how willing leftists are to throw women under the bus if it means furthering their demented demolition of our culture. True feminists everywhere should be outraged, not celebrating this obscenity. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Julian Assange dared to expose the truth. He dared to expose war crimes and corporate corruption. And he's now a political prisoner while the mainstream media censors and distorts the true story. In May 2019, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture, Nils Melzer, published a scathing condemnation of the injustice inflicted on Julian Assange. Melzer said, quote, "In 20 years of work with victims of war, violence, and political persecution, I have never seen a group of democratic states ganging up to deliberately isolate, demonize, and abuse a single individual for such a long time, and with so little regard for human dignity and the rule of law." Unquote. And Melzer said, this can only be described as psychological torture. Years later, Assange still sits in jail with barely a whimper of protest from the so-called free media.
Canadian doctors are being directed to consider psychiatric meds and therapy for the unvaccinated.
Perhaps Canadian doctors should consider psychiatric meds and therapy for Justin Trudeau and his government.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, we are back, and I'm speaking with Lucia Sinatra of No College Mandates, and you can read all of these articles that we are discussing and their resources at nocollegemandates.substack.com. That includes the Take Action piece that the Align Act campaign that my wife and I signed, and hopefully you will sign as well. They're trying to reach 100,000 people by midpoint of this month. And I read that you guys are doing this for other universities as well.
Yeah. So we are in the middle of, well, we just kind of wrapped up what we would like to call our fifth letter campaign. So what we did is a couple months ago, we created a template that basically told colleges it's time to drop your vaccine mandates in following updated CDC guidelines, which now recognize natural immunity. There is no longer a need for vaccine mandates. In addition, you know, stop treating unvaccinated students differently from vaccinated students. And of course, we put, you know, all sorts of data. And then we had two freedom fighting organizations sign that letter. So ours and one other. And we had five law firms sign that letter with us. And that letter has gone out to over 300 colleges that continue to mandate vaccines and some that mandate boosters. So what we do is we put out a call of action to all of our followers and say, hey, if you'd like to target your college, send us an email. We'll send you the template. And what we'll do is we'll have you send the letter via certified mail once you've customized it. And then we'll send it via email so that parents can stay anonymous. Because we have a lot of that going on still, Michael. Yes. Parents, students.
Oh, yeah.
People are still really, really afraid. You know, so that's a big part of this problem too, right? Is, you know, until we get we're sort of able to come out of the shadows, until we get a larger critical mass, until we get more people willing to push back, we're still going to be in this predicament, I believe.
And unfortunately, because I've seen this within my own family, it's like, even if the parents don't want this and maybe the kids are not crazy about it, they run the risk of being ostracized within their own community. They don't want that. So anything but that.
Yep. Yep. 1,000%. Or they don't want to be treated differently. Right.
Yes.
So, and then everybody's going to know. So if they have to go for testing, but nobody else has to go for testing, or if they can't enter certain labs or certain buildings, well, everybody's going to know. Because, you know, nowadays I'm finding it's not like college students go up to other college students and say, hey, are you vaccinated? You know, I think they all assume at the more elite schools or those in the blue and liberal states, you know, they sort of assume everybody's vaccinated. I mean, these communities are 98% vaccinated, right? So I don't think that's happening. But if they're, you know, these poor kids have been through so much. They are so desperate for normalcy that they will completely disregard parents' advice, doctors' advice, articles, some of the truth telling that's going on, you know, because they just want to be a regular, you know, kid without being ostracized or, you know, without being having any attention called to them that they have not gotten the latest booster or they've not gotten vaccinated. And, you know, it's part of this I am invincible thing. You know, I remember quite well back to when I was a college student feeling the exact same way, feeling like, well, you know, I'm young, I'm invincible, I'm strong, everything's fine. You know, I'm going to be okay. And quite frankly, you know, they haven't seen a lot of destruction in their college, you know, communities. And I think that, you know, not that I wish for more of that to happen, but I don't think it's sinking in or anybody's, you know, they still think it's, you know, it's their parents being difficult or, you know, I don't know, you know, it's conspiracy theory or it's unfounded or it's blown out of proportion, you know, that the vaccines cause all these side effects. I don't think they have reason enough to pay attention and to break them from the spell of I am invincible.
On Sunday, yesterday, my wife had the morning talk shows on, and I don't remember exactly which one it was, but one of the guys who's in charge of all this, one of the deputy directors, I think, of the NIH or something. Anyway, he's on television basically saying, hey, this is one of the best things you can do to stay healthy for next year, and it's totally safe. I mean, wow, the gall of this just to write to a national audience to say, this is what you should do, perfectly safe. Come out and get vaxxed. I mean, they are acting like there is no data whatsoever that's come to light that shows the issues that surround this thing. They're just full steam ahead. Yep. Nothing's changed.
Yep, you are absolutely right. And it just, it's, you know, it's frightening. The messaging is still there. You know, and then let's just talk for a second about where these college students are getting their news from. All know it's from social media. And I mean, you're completely censored. Maybe not so much on Twitter these days, but on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram and you name it. Anybody who's trying to tell the truth about what's going on with these vaccines is instantly taken down. And if students are getting their news from, this is what we all have to do as a community, this is the selfless way to act and continue protecting, you know, then this is what they're going to do. It's very much a herd mentality. We're not seeing a whole lot of critical thinking or independent thought or analysis going on around who am I? What is my risk benefit analysis? And do I really need to take what I'm being told to take? I'm not seeing it.
Well, and that's an interesting point. We've got a few minutes left, probably 4 or 5 minutes left. It's like, I don't want to blanket statement the generation that's in college right now, but I just feel like they feel about news and things differently than you and I did. And because look at China right now. They've got massive protests in the streets. What would it take to get American students to protest at their universities? I don't know. And when they're looking at social media, which is largely slanted from their group of friends who probably think similar things as they do, if they're even looking at the news, they're getting the echo chamber.
Yep.
So I don't know if this is that passionate a driving subject to many of them.
Yep, I totally agree. And I think it highlights a much greater underlying problem is for a long time. I've been in the education advocacy arena for a long, long time, and I have seen years and years of students being taught what to think and not how to think. And I think you're seeing that play out right now. And that to me is the far greater consequence of all of this. Earlier in the show, when I said they don't realize the consequences of their actions, it's much greater than just subjecting your body to an experimental medical treatment. It's much, much greater than that.
And I don't think they like conflict. I don't think that they want to fight over something. So unfortunately, they become very subservient and compliant. Yep. And like I say, man, I'm not trying to talk bad on them. It's just, I mean, I see it in my immediate sphere, and it makes me sad.
Yeah, I'm so with you. I see it too. And I don't mean to generalize either, because trust me, I've been contacted by some of the most amazing students out there. And these kids, these college kids, I mean, they feel siloed. They feel alone. Yes. They have wanted to start efforts. Trust me, we have brainstormed for hours on end. What can we do? How can we motivate our colleagues? How can we get them to wake up? How can we start an effort to get the college students to speak up? And we have started and stopped this so many times because these poor college students cannot get the momentum around it and have the energy and bandwidth and also be a full-time student in some of the most competitive colleges in the United States. It just can't be done. So I started this effort. We'll sort of come full circle here, Michael, because I started this effort saying I will be this voice only until the college students find the courage to speak for themselves. Then I'm out. And then it's about them. And I will do exactly what I've done my whole life as a mother. I will always be here to support you. But I don't want to be the voice and the face of this effort. I am the placeholder until you find the courage to take it over.
And that real power, that real amplitude of the message will only be heard when they finally take it over. Because until that happens, it's not coming from the source. And what they fear is it coming from the source. So until those kids take it upon themselves to do this, it's better than nothing. And we have to do it, but that's where the real power of the message will come from.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that's what I pray for every day. God, give them the strength and the courage to find their voice and to speak out, because certainly we are seeing more and more of them come to the realization that this is just not right. and they don't want it to continue. And they just feel that they are in the small minority and that they are alone. And there's still a lot of fear around what will happen to me if I speak out against this.
Well, Licia, just know that we appreciate you and we are going to spread the word. And in this last minute or so, tell everybody how they can find everything, no college mandates, and the document that they can sign, the Align Act sign.
Certainly. Thank you so much. So we have a website. It's called it's www.nocollegemandates.com. From that website, you can get to our Telegram communities. You can get to our Twitter pages. I'm also on Getter and Truth Social. And then, of course, you can get to our Substack, which is where we post all of our letter efforts and professors' letters and doctors' letters and everybody and anybody that we can collect as an ally to speak out against college mandates. We try to post all of that information a couple times a week in our Substack.
Licia, thank you so much for what you're doing, and thank you for taking time to come on the show. Hopefully we will help spread the word and get more of this message out. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you to my producers, Dave and Alex. Thank you to TNT, and thank you to my audience. You're who we're making this far. Help us spread the word about this. I will catch you tomorrow. Peace.